Okay, everyone, and welcome to Championship Drill, joined by Phil and Jerry as always. We're back for the first one since the international break, and I suppose we'll start there, guys. Was it me, or did you feel like this was the longest international break of all time?
I think it's because there were three games.
Yeah, and we were diabolical, so maybe that doesn't help either. That drags on that bit more. We always dwell on past Irish performances, and
yeah.
I think like this has got to be the worst run we've ever been on.
Yeah. It's the first time since the 70s Ireland haven't won a game in a calendar year. So,
but they haven't scored a goal either in 11 hours.
Yeah, I know.
It's like we defensively we've had legends over the year in that defence, but like defensively we're actually pretty strong. It's just we're not doing nothing. Do you know what I mean? I know they're trying to breed all these we're relying on Troy Parrott and Adam Oida and all these guys, and they will come good, but it's just, very unfortunate.
Isn't there a young fella for Southampton who's quite good?
He's in the 21 team. There's a lot of trouble over this. He should be in that senior squad.
Yeah.
They wanted to keep him with the 21s because they had a chance to qualify.
Yeah, bizarre.
But they left him there. But again, he's not playing for Southampton, and, you know, some of the other lads that have been getting games, the likes of, like, James Collins and that have been playing regular football, so they're always going to be given more of a chance. But yeah, Ireland haven't replaced Robbie Keane yet, and hopefully one of the answers will come true.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see. So I suppose before we go into the games, there's two new managers we have to talk about. We'll go into them more when their games come up, I suppose.
Yeah.
Derby have a new management team, the two is Rooney and Ross Senior at the moment. With Shea given, I think, helping them out as well. And Tony Pulis has got the Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
No real surprises for you guys in that the two lads have gone in the international break?
No,
they have to get rid of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough one. They're both down at the bottom. So the two teams that have changed managers, which one of them finishes higher on the table this season?
Pulis on Wednesday.
Yeah, Sheffield Wednesday. They'll start getting one of their wins there everywhere, out of nowhere now of next year.
Yeah.
And Derby, there was a weird one you were on about, Phil, in terms of someone linked to the club.
Yeah, John Gregory.
a strange one. He was at Derby before, not very successfully, it must be said.
Yeah, he was there for a year, I think.
Yeah, a long time ago.
It seems like a long time ago.
That's it. I mean, Rooney has said he'd love to take the job.
Yeah.
I
know Jerry's against that.
Jerry's against that, yeah.
Did you see there was like a press conference where it was Rooney and I think it was a caretaker going next to him. They were like two schoolboys down the back of the class.
It's unbelievable. Rooney Senior was kind of barking out the instructions on the thing for the two of them.
Like Rooney's a legend, you know what I mean? He is an iconic legend. Like England, one of England's greatest strikers.
Yeah.
Obviously, I understand after football you want to go into management, like, but don't do it no wind, you know what I mean? It's they were like two schoolboys down the back, giggling and shaking, and it was like they were being fed popcorn or something, you know? It was just, it's embarrassing, you know?
Yeah, it's a strange. They haven't been taken over yet, I suppose. And also, like you said, you have the two of them, Rossini and Rooney. And it rarely has worked in football where you have co-managers and it's worked out well.
Yeah.
Jesus, remember Roy Evans? We'll have to Gareth Bullier.
Didn't it destroy Leeds that time?
Yeah. I think Bolton had it as well way back in the early 90s. I think Bolton had two managers there one season as well.
But
Pulis to Wednesday, that was kind of an interesting one.
Yeah, great for them. It's probably up there with I suppose like I read Pulis big time. Do you know what I mean? I used to always love these energetic post and pre-match kind of, you know, interviews and stuff. Yeah. But he's a great manager, and statistically he's, you know what I mean, he's always kept all these teams
up. Has he ever got a club relegated?
He may have done with Stoke at one stage or another, I don't know. I'm not sure if he has, though. So we move on, I suppose, to the games. We start Friday night with probably the worst game of the weekend, which is unusual for Coventry. I think we build them up too much on a Friday night and finally came back. both teams obviously played St Andrews this season, Coventry sharing the ground with Birmingham. So,
yeah.
No, Birmingham playing an away game in their own stadium.
Yeah, that was really weird.
So after two draws in the cup this season already, this was the third time these teams have drawn each other in matches already since January.
Yeah.
There's actually nothing to talk about with this game. There's nothing.
Absolutely nothing to talk about. There was very few chances. Birmingham had one or two half chances. And I suppose the only positive anyone can take out of this would be Coventry in that it was the first clean sheet at home this season.
Yeah.
Which ironically was against the team who were also at home.
Yeah.
So there you go. But yeah, we'll move away from that one as quick as we can. There's very little to say about it.
Yeah.
Bournemouth Reading then yesterday afternoon was a great game. A game of two halves, really, here, if ever there was one.
Yeah.
It easily
could have been 2-2 at half-time.
Could have been. I mean, Reading were 2-2 at half-time. They probably didn't deserve to be 2-2 at half-time.
Oh, no. Crazy.
Yeah, Begovic, crazy foul. I know what he was doing.
Yeah, it was a weird one.
And Deniluco with a really nice, tidy finish, and they were 2-0 up at half-time and didn't deserve it. And then the first 20 minutes of the second half, Bournemouth just came out. And you had Solanke scored, and Juma scored, and then Cook, who hasn't scored for Bournemouth in 4.5 years at the club, smashed one in off the underside of the bar.
Yeah, it was quality.
And suddenly they were 3-2 up.
I actually was trying to, I was actually said to Steve earlier, it might be 3-3 this one.
Might be 3-3, yeah. And that was when it was 2-0 at half-time.
Yeah.
I suppose Reading had a few chances. Begovic made a few good saves. At the end, there was one that was close to going over the line that he kept out.
Yeah, I see that. That was great. Solanke's hit form big time. I think when he's on his way, they're savage. But that's Bournemouth are a different kettle of fish. They really are. When they play well, they play well. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
they're too good for a championship. They'll definitely come up.
Yeah, I mean, Solanke got the fourth to wrap it up, kind of in stoppage time. After I don't know, still don't know what the goalkeeper was trying to do. He had about three chances to clear the ball.
Yeah,
he decided to try and fall down on top of it or something. I don't know what he was up to. And Solanke took it off him, and then, you know, he wasn't going to miss then when there was no goalkeeper.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's looking good. He could be a left, like, you know what I mean? He obviously, he was at Chelsea, he was at Liverpool. He's starting to hit form. He could be a left bloomer. Like, he could be a guy, I know that will hit peak 24, 25. He's still 21, 22, I think.
Yeah.
He scored two goals so far this season. He got two yesterday, so he's up to 4 now. Yeah. And, I mean, if Bournemouth can get, like, 15 to 20 goals out of him this season.
Yeah.
It's a good project. Scored as well. He'll be, you know, that'll be a massive bonus for them. But his overall play has been good this season, even when he's not scoring goals. He's bringing others into play and he's setting up a few as well.
Yeah.
But Reading, no, what's that? They've lost, what, 4 in a row?
Yeah, and they've left in over 3 goals in each game.
Yeah, which is their worst run since 1998.
Yeah.
You know, they conceded 1 goal in their first 7 games as well.
Yeah.
And have left in 15 and 5 now.
Yeah, I did.
So there's something's really gone wrong at the back. And yesterday it looked like Bournemouth were going to score every time they went forward.
The second half, especially,
You know, it was unbelievable. A lot of good players for Bournemouth too yesterday in the second half. First half, they were a bit all over the place. Cook, who scored the goal, was brilliant in his overall play as well. Blanky obviously got two goals.
Brooks got man of the match.
Yeah, Brooks was very good as well. He kind of kept things ticking along for him as well. But Reading are in real trouble if they don't start sorting out.
They're going way down to 6 now, are they?
They're down to 6. They were top of the table at the start of the day. So,
but I know it's only 2 points, but still, it's not.
But it's, you know, it's you know, when you think 5 games ago, were they 7 points clear at the top?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now they're in 6th. It's not been the greatest run for them, but Bournemouth now right up there with Norwich and that as well. And I suppose they've kept hold of a lot of their players as well, which really does help.
Oh, yeah, massive. Massive.
So we move on then to another game that was very close. There was a lot of these yesterday where probably could have been draws, but again, teams just didn't take their chances when they had them.
Yeah.
It was Barnsley 2, Nottingham Forest 0. Stiles and Woodrow with the goals very late on, really, all the last 10 minutes.
It should have been, if they should have scored 4 goals, actually, Barnsley.
They could have done. I think Woodrow hit the bar twice before he scored.
Yeah.
One smashed off the bar and one came off the underside of the bar.
Yeah.
And didn't go in. But, you know, Guerrero had a few great chances as well.
Yeah.
You know,
Lolly as well.
Yeah, Taylor as well had a very good chance. You know, Walton made a great save, especially from Taylor's chance.
They're looking good. They look, Barnsley are really looking good since that new manager came in. Like,
yeah,
yeah, it's 4 wins and 5 now for Ishmael, and they move into 13th, Forrester 20th, I suppose. Yeah. But like we said, you had like Taylor's chance, Guerrero's chance, and the one you were on about as well, Phil. Like, yeah. Forrest could have been one or two up before Barnsley scored.
Yeah.
But you have to take your chances, and they didn't. And Barnsley did take theirs eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think if this had been a draw, nobody would have complained either. But a 2-0 win is huge. And like you say there, Jerry, like 4 wins out of 5 games, I don't think anyone saw that coming because they were worried what was going to happen when the manager left.
Yeah, we were joking about Mick McCarthy and the team performing to try and impress me, but they really look good, lads. 13th to the table, they're on a bit of a roll. There's a bit of the swaggers there, like, obviously, you know what I mean? Woodrow scoring goals. You know, Callum Stiles looks immense. Even our goalkeeper, Jack Walton, deserves a shout. Like, you know, he's done fairly well. He's keeping a lot of shots out. But Barnsley could be a surprise package, lads. They could end up top 10, and then who knows, maybe in a year or two, it's Barnsley back in the Premier League. The unbelievable could happen.
Yeah, you just don't know what's going to happen. And
is
Forrest,
it 2000 in the Premier League?
Long time.
And Forrest, I suppose, have been going well as well under their new manager, and it was just kind of a blip yesterday because they played well yesterday.
Yeah.
That's they just didn't take the chances.
Yeah, international break, Colibri, sir.
Yeah.
Forrest, they don't have the forward players, Forrest, to be honest with you.
No, they're struggling to score goals, like, and they missed. Great. And Guerrero had one yesterday where he was clean through and he was like an 8-year-old, the power he put behind it. it was not good. We move on then to the management, you know, duo, Rooney and Ross Senior. Shea Given and Justin Walker were there as well, helping them out on the bench yesterday. But Bristol City beat them 1-0.
Yeah.
Did you get to see some of the highlights of this one?
Yeah. Derby didn't look good.
No. They're kind of struggling. I mean, it's Dedeo got the goal for Bristol City. And if you look at Rooney was playing in midfield yesterday, and he played pretty well.
Yeah.
And Derby kind of started okay. The first 20, 25 minutes, they look kind of dangerous. But after that, they just seem to have zero ideas when they're near the box.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, they've won one win in 12 games, and they've scored 5 goals in 12 games.
Yeah. And it doesn't help that they're linked with John Gregory, who hasn't managed a club in England in like 6 years.
Yeah, and when you think of those 5 goals, 3 of them were free kicks, I think.
Yeah, you look at the team, lads, the team isn't great, like, you know what I mean? You have Jason Rooney, you know, Matthew Clark, like Andrew Wisdom, Tom Lawrence, I'm surprised they didn't go to Frank Lampard, you know, with the connection Lampard had with Derby and say, look, can we take some of your young lads on loan? Like, they don't really have a good squad, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to say Rooney's past it. Rooney can still do it, like, you know what I mean? But for a team like Derby County, they need they didn't really, like, David Marshall, obviously, he's heroic for Scotland and all that, but it's you look at the team and it's not great, like, it really is not great, like, and I can't say much because I'm not a footballer. I dream to be in a position these lads are in, you know what I mean? But it's Derby County at the end of the day, you know what I mean? They were immense under Lampard.
Yeah.
Obviously, Lampard went to Chelsea. They're not great. Like, they're not filling the gaps.
But what happened there is with Lampard, he had like 6 loan players. That was the problem.
Yeah, but if you look at Derby, it's one of those where people will say, there's no way they're going to go down. Like,
yeah,
if you wait to go down. But I mean, 1 win in 12 games. I mean, the form has to turn around quickly, especially when you have the likes of Barnsley picking up points, and they're the teams they're going to be hoping to try and catch.
That's
you know, like them, and the further they get behind those teams, the harder it's going to be. Bristol City, though, they were kind of running neck and neck with Reading. They had a bit of a blip, but they've won 3 in a row now.
Yeah.
You know, they've got their form back. They're up into 3rd in the table. I think they're only behind Bournemouth on goal difference.
I think so.
Semenyo was set up the goal yesterday, a great cross, and he's been really good for them the last few games as well.
Yeah, very impressive.
You know, and again, it's a game that wasn't great.
No.
You know, Waghorn had a good chance, Bird had a good chance for Derby, but they really didn't create a whole lot.
No.
And you know, I suppose Bristol will be delighted. 3 wins in a row now.
Any news on the takeover stuff?
No, it's still like in the process of being done or not done or whatever happens to it. And that's not helping them either, I suppose, because everything like that is up in the air too.
Yeah, Derby, I'm telling you, lads, Derby are in big trouble. Like, you know what I mean? I'd be shocked if they got rid of it, but it's just like anything, lads. When panic kicks in and people talk and there's all this disruption, they could go down. You just don't know, like, you know what I mean?
But the thing is, I actually see a pattern with Bolton here.
Yeah.
They're really, like, really, really struggling.
Because Bolton now are, like, down the bottom half of the league too.
Yeah, I mean, they're struggling badly.
Bolton, unfortunately, what happened with Bolton, though, fairly unlucky these last couple of years with point deductions and kind of nearly been wound up and stuff, you know. Players taking, I know Darren Murphy was there for a while, and I know he took a massive pay cut. The rumour was he's only getting £800 a week, you know. But
yeah,
it's one of them things, like, you know what I mean? It's there, we need to take over fast.
They do, yeah.
They need to stay up. At the end of the day, it's the championship, lads, and we know the way it can go.
And that's the thing, like, if they stay up this season, they could get promoted next season.
Yeah, they could be the best team in the next season, so it's mad how it goes.
Yeah.
Crazy. It is crazy. We move on, so, to Luton Blackburn won the draws this weekend. 1-1 Berry for Luton, Gallagher equaliser for Blackburn. Could have went either way. Luton very good in the first half. Moncour and Cornick had good chances. You know, a scuffed cross by Collins, really. It wasn't the great cross that set up the goal.
Yeah.
And Blackburn didn't really come to life until they went to goal behind.
Yeah.
Armstrong had a goal ruled out for offside, even though he was offside. So they can't really complain about that. Mm. I suppose Blackburn really, you know, they've been going decent enough this season.
Yeah.
And, you know, both teams probably happy enough with this.
Luton are pretty hard to beat nowadays.
Really tough, doesn't it? Blackburn have never beaten Luton at Luton's ground in a league game.
Yeah.
Very young squad as well. Like, they have a very young squad, you know?
Yeah.
Over the years, Blackburn and Luton have generally been kept apart in the division, so there have not been that many league games between them. But they haven't beaten them ever away. So, you know, no surprise there, I suppose. Blackburn dropped to 14th. Luton are still up around 10th. And yeah, like you said, Phil, they're very tough to beat.
Very hard.
I suppose both teams will be happy enough with a point coming off the international break. Because, you know, like I said, a lot of the teams getting their international players back on like Thursday and then having to play on Saturday. You know, you've kind of only got a day and a half with them.
I didn't see Blackburn drop the way they did drop, though, lads. I'm shocked, you know what I mean? They were so high, they were scoring goals. They were first four or five games, incredible.
Yeah.
Got in Harvey Elliott, you know what I mean? I said they'd be even better. But, yeah, they've dropped right off the pace, big time, you know? They're down to 14th. You know what I mean? They're 9 points off the top Norwich. But, like, I'd be shocked they dropped that way.
Yeah.
There. But as long as they, like, Adam Armstrong, I know he didn't score yesterday, but with someone like him, they're always going to probably win more games than they lose when you have a striker like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But we'll see. But yeah, they definitely have slipped up to where they were. The goals have kind of dried up a bit.
Yeah.
What's that, Bill?
No, I said big time. They've gone.
Oh, yeah. And we move on then to Middlesbrough and Norwich, two of the better defences in the league. And two penalties here, really. Norwich go top. Burrow had a second half penalty missed.
Yeah.
Despite it hitting the back of the net, one of those very unlucky ones. He knew as soon as he didn't celebrate.
Yeah.
He knew what had happened. He slipped basically and kicked the ball twice, which is illegal in the penalty. And Pukki made no mistake for Norwich's one. Really nice penalty, actually.
Yeah.
Considering he put one over the bar earlier this season. He kind of stepped confidence for that one. Burrow probably had the better chances, though, but there wasn't a lot of great chances in this game.
No.
Which isn't surprising, given both teams are very good at the back.
Yeah.
You know,
Norwich just find ways to win, though, don't they?
It's unbelievable. Like, they beat, who was it? They beat Watford 1-0, and they've had a couple of these 1-0s in tough games.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really looking good for Norwich to have a chance to go up.
If they come up this time, they're going to have to buy players.
You'd imagine they're going to have to get one or two in, especially up top, because we saw Pukki was great in the Championship and he was great at the start of the Premier League and kind of fell apart. They probably definitely need another striker to take some of the pressure, you know, off him. Adam Ida is probably too young yet to be that guy that they can rely on week in, week out.
Yeah.
He's actually up for a while. I think he got injured. I think he's actually up for a couple of weeks. So, Adam,
yeah, I think he's injured, yeah.
Yeah. But he's kind of a guy I don't think they're going to be able to rely on, like, every week to get loads of goals yet. He'll chip in with his goals, I'm sure, because he is a talent.
Yeah.
But they probably need that experienced striker if they do go up this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose Borough are always going to be very hard to beat. They've, this again, they lost 1-0. They haven't conceded more than one goal yet this season in the league, in any game. So, you know, the thing is, if Borough score in a match, which they don't do very often, they're very hard to beat.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
But they really need a goal scorer. Because if they could get somebody who could knock in goal, like if they had an Adam Armstrong who's going to get you a couple of goals, Borough would be like doing even better than they are at the moment.
Yeah, they'd be up in the top 4 or 5.
Yeah, but Norwich are going to be happy, I suppose, to be top of the league. I know the manager said he'd rather be there after 46 games than 12 games, but
yeah,
you know, both teams going along pretty well. Borough probably feel a little bit unlucky that they didn't get a point yesterday.
Oh yeah,
100%. Yeah, like it was a fair game. They should a draw was a fair result.
Yeah, and when you look at the Borough squad, like, and they are doing very well. It's not the greatest squad on earth, but the manager, so much experience he has, and he's really getting the most out of the players.
Yeah. Anybody else there? I reckon they'd be in the bottom three.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So we move on to another draw here with Millwall 1, Cardiff 1. Neil Harris, I believe, is Millwall's all-time top goal scorer.
Yeah.
Was their manager until October last year, so it was his first return back to the Den. And, you know, very little happened in this game before Smith's goal.
Yeah, I think they've in the last 6 games, they've drawn every game.
Yeah, Millwall are just one of... become one of those teams. Now they're so good at the back.
They
really are struggling. One home win this season.
Yeah.
And Cardiff have only one win their last 7 games. So the fact that this was a draw is probably not that surprising. And Cardiff really did nothing until Millwall scored either.
Yeah.
But then they really went for it.
Yeah. Like after Cardiff scored, there was like about 10 chances.
There was. Like, they really went for it. Cardiff just decided, suddenly, we're going to wake up and play, and they just attack after attack after and attack.
There's clearances off the line.
Yeah, yeah. Wilson and Moore had chances as well. They were kind of safe. There was, yeah, that one header off the line or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Like, Cardiff won't be happy with the goal they conceded. Total miscommunication.
Yeah.
Like, why the goalkeeper was rushing off his line for a ball he was going to get absolutely nowhere near is beyond me.
Yeah, that was shocking. Yeah, that was really bad.
And it could have been 3-1 to Cardiff at the end. Like you said, they had a couple of chances, but only one win the last 7. They must be the most baffling team. We've talked about it a few weeks, but, you know, when you see them, Jerry, play Cardiff, they have, it's, you know, they play so well.
Yeah.
Times and end up with like a draw or a defeat, and then they play shocking and they get a win. I mean, the players must be as baffled as anybody.
Well, you look at the squad they have, Steve, like it's unreal. Do you know what I mean? They have some serious talent in that squad. To be dumb in the bottom half of that table is a bit strange. I know Swansea are doing ever so well up in the top half, but like, you know, Harry Wilson, like, I can't stress enough, I probably bring him up in every episode.
Yeah,
like he's cruising the championship, like Junior Holly, like he's decent. Joe Ray, yeah. Like even Kiefer Moore, like up front, you know what I mean? They have a really good squad. It's I just can't make it out, you know what I mean? I don't know what's going on there, you know. They've never really recovered these last couple of years. There's been obviously there was a lot of kind of situations at the club where, you know, they were in a really bad patch and they got relegated and stuff, and they unfortunately lost a player. But it's I can't make it out.
Strange one. And Millwall, I suppose, Troy Parrott finally made his league debut for them, came on for the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, it was good to see him out finally get it on.
Obviously, he's been out for a while, so he's not going to start the game for a few weeks, you'd imagine, until he's back up to full fitness.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, A lot of hype about him.
Yeah, and I suppose there's pressure on him now too, because before Spurs went out and signed a couple of strikers, a lot of their fans were saying, like, why are we not giving this guy a go?
Yeah.
And, you know, and a lot of Irish fans too are saying, like, why is he not starting? Because he did so well underage for Ireland and that, and he's done so well, like, under 23s for Spurs. But he's got a lot to prove now that he can do it.
Yeah.
Well, as you say, it's one of them things you probably noticed if you've seen players go across channel over the years, but like, he's got a lot of pressure. He's obviously he's highly rated by Ireland. Mourinho wanted him to go out on loan. When you look at that Spurs team now, I suppose it kind of makes sense. But yeah, he's. I think he's going to be a decent player. Like he's definitely someone kind of brought up him and Aaron Connolly and a couple of lads there that are coming up, and they were saying, "Look, Paris the one that stands out." I just hope he does live up to the hype. You know what I mean? He's got a lot of pressure on his shoulders, but he can do it. He's got the whole physique. You know, he looks like the player. He is the player. So hopefully, he can do what he can do in the training ground and score goals for both club and country. You know.
Yeah, and he should suit the championship as well, because like you said, his physique, he is big and strong.
Yeah.
You know, for a young fella, he's not exactly lightweight.
No, he reminds me of Harry Kane, a small bit, like in the sense he's got that tall physique build, you know what I mean? So he's got a great first touch, he's great in the air. It just takes two or three good games and he's made. You know, same happened with Robbie Keane. You know, Robbie Keane had two or three great games, you know what I mean, back in the days where he was with Wolves or, you know, when he went to Coventry. It just takes two or three games and that's it. Like, it's lift off and then you have a remarkable 10-year career or something, you know. It's Granny does well, like, and I think you will.
Hopefully. And Millwall fans will be hoping so too. Then we move on to one of the surprises of the week, which was Preston winning at home.
Yeah.
Pulis's first game in charge of Wednesday, not really to plan. Josh Windass after 17 minutes with a tattle that was more at home in the Karate Kid.
Pulis made a very interesting decision. He brought back Westwood.
Yeah.
He was being out for like 18 months or something.
I know.
Out of the squad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kerry Westwood, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of experience, though, I'd say. You know, I'd say Westwood was in the Irish team last year, as far as I can recall. Like, he's been around a lot, you know, but he's, he's a good goalkeeper, like.
Yeah, and we know Preston struggle at home, and even here, they were up against 10 men for almost the entire game, and they barely scraped over the line. Barkhausen's goal was brilliant yesterday.
Very good.
A great strike, and he had another one cleared off the line late on. Alan Brown obviously picked up coronavirus away with Ireland, so he was out.
And Adam O'Reilly was on the bench.
Adam O'Reilly, I mean, we've talked about him, haven't we, Adam O'Reilly, and... Yeah. We spoke to Adam a few times and we've been telling, you know, Preston fans how good he is. He was on the bench yesterday. He didn't come on.
Yeah.
But he's getting close to breaking through for sure. I know you've been saying it for a few weeks now, Jerry, that he's almost there. He's nearly making that breakthrough.
He's a baller, lads. Obviously when someone's from Cork and we hype him up and people think there's a Terry behind it, but legit, he's a serious player. Like his dad was a great player for Cove Ramblers, Kieran O'Reilly. We've spoke to Adam lads numerous times, as you know, and he's an absolute baller. He's quite small, but he reminds me of a Deco, or you know, he's that kind of small player that takes the ball to do stuff. So I think he's gonna be a serious player. It was great to see Seanan McGuire come on. I think Seanan's days are numbered at Preston. I think he can get a bigger move perhaps, or maybe go to Celtic, but O'Reilly definitely is a player for the future. Still quite young. Preston needed to win that game, lads, because I'm telling you, Alex Neil would have been sacked. I'm saying it all along.
I mean, he's what? That was their sixth home game, their first win after losing the other five. Indeed, but O'Reilly, Preston obviously rated him because they gave him a new contract not long ago. I know he'd been injured, so they also put him out on loan for a few games to get that match fitness up.
Yeah.
Because he obviously sees him as part of his plans.
100%.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Great player. Future Irish star, like I'm telling you, he's... There's just something about him. I've seen him play. I know he made his debut in the championship last year, but like, he's a baller, lads. Like, I've seen him for the 21s with Preston, and do you know what I mean? He was the scholar of the year 2 years in a row. Adam O'Reilly is a baller, and it'd be great to see him break into that squad this year.
It would be nice, wouldn't it, to see like O'Reilly and Brown playing in the same midfield.
Yeah, and they're both. I think they're both kind of from the south side. They're both from that kind of.
They both came from Ring Man, didn't they, one time or another? Along with Kelleher at Liverpool.
Well, Kelleher, obviously, there's a connection there. Like, you know, Kelleher going to Preston would be a great move, lads, on loan, you know. I won't be surprised if it happened next season.
Yeah. So we move on to another draw there. QPR Watford. Wilmot with his first for Watford. Gives him the lead. He doesn't score many, obviously. And Cheer with the equaliser for QPR. Watford's manager fuming after this one, like, because they look so
I'm not surprised they should have won this one.
Yeah, I mean, they looked so good in the first half. And in the second half, it just seemed like something in the players' heads decided we're going to defend this 1-0 lead and not try and get a second goal.
Yes, yeah,
sir. And QPR just came after them, came after them, and came after them.
Yeah, Sarah missed a great chance.
He did. But QPR, like, put so much pressure on them in the second half and eventually got the goal.
Yeah.
And I think they also had one ruled out for handball.
Yeah.
Later on.
And they also might have had a penalty as well.
It looked a penalty to me. I mean, there was a couple of shouts for a penalty.
Yeah.
But there was one where, you know, it looked like it could have been given. It was one of those kind of ones. But Watford, I suppose, they're going well enough in the league. They'll be happy enough, but they could have won this game.
They'll be safe, lads. Watford, like, Sarah is immense. This guy is an absolute baller. Like, it's, I mean, he should be at United or he should be at Liverpool. Like, he's talented. And look, it's going to do him no harm being in the Championship. Like, he's graft. He's learning the way. Yeah. But that Watford team looked good. Troy Deeney came on, I think, straight on the second half. But, yeah, Watford, they're going to stay up. There's no doubt. And I think, you know, not only stay up, I think they'll be in that top three, 100%.
So we move on then to one of the other games of the weekend, really. I mean, a couple of good ones. Stoke Huddersfield, Stoke 4, Huddersfield 3.
Yeah.
There was 11 shots on target in this game and 7 goals.
Yeah.
And 5 of them came in the last 20 minutes of the first half.
Yeah.
Where it seemed like every time a team went forward, they scored a goal. It was like when you're playing out in the street.
There was wasn't there a shocking goal in this as well? The defending was awful in places.
Yeah, I think all of Stoke's goals could have been stopped.
Yeah.
Especially the first one seemed like the keeper could have easily saved it, but just decided not to.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Like, Etting gave Huddersfield the lead.
Yeah.
And you had 2 goals from Campbell to make it 2-1. And Benza equalised. Then there was a Stearman OG to make it 3-2 to Stoke at halftime.
Yeah.
Then Klukas made it 4-2 after 57 minutes. And then 3 minutes later, you know, Sarr scored and it was 4-3 and it stayed that way. It was kind of nuts because not a lot else happened outside of the goals.
Yeah.
It's kind of our game, if you look at it, lads. It's a game that we like. It's truly our game, you know, anything can happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was strange. It's like suddenly there was these 7 goals out of nowhere. In probably like 12 shots, there was probably like 7 goals came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
then nothing happened before after it, really.
Also, Klukas's goal should have been saved. Like, that looked like it was straight at the keeper.
Yeah, I mean, he made some howlers, and I think that might have been his first start as well in goals for Huddersfield yesterday.
Yeah, he looked pretty bad.
Joel something, I think his name is. I forget now. Joel Haru or something. But, it's unfortunate, you know what I mean? How could he bounce back from that?
Yeah, it's a tough one. Stoke, though, again, climb up into 7th now.
Yeah, just
behind Reading, who are not in good form. So,
yeah, I'm saying it all along, lads. When it's all said and done, and COVID is no longer here, we're free to roam and hop on planes. I will like nothing more than to travel to Stoke on Trent, which he and play some of them beautiful pies at Stoke Stadium and mix with the fans because they're a great club, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like they have to be happy with how they're doing, Stoke. I mean, 7th in the table.
Yeah.
I mean, they got off to that shocking start, but they've put it together now, and they're scoring goals, which is...
Yeah, Campbell looks like a fine player.
Unbelievable, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, it's 2 goals again for him yesterday. Unbelievable. And Huddersfield, they're in a bit of up-and-down form this season. But
yeah. They'll win now next week against someone like Bournemouth where they're playing.
That kind of a thing. Yeah. I mean, they're just up and down, but they should be safe, which I think is...
They're playing Wickham next.
Yeah, their main aim.
What you take from a 4-3 loss, Steve? Obviously, you know, when you coach teams and stuff, it must be terrifying coming away from a 4-3 loss. Like, you can't really... Who do you give out to? Did you give out to the defenders or cause the strikers? It's terrible.
I think, well, obviously, like, you have to defend as a team first and foremost. But I think if you look at the 4 Stoke goals back again, every single one of them could have been defended better.
The second one was awful altogether.
The first one, like, 2 of them went through the keeper's hands, more or less.
Yeah.
You know, there was one of them where the defenders just didn't close the ball down quick enough.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably what they're going to have to work on. There was a lot of, it's one of those where when individual mistakes are costing you goals, it's not something you can work on as a team as such.
Yeah.
You get the players to focus more. not to lose concentration, which can happen, especially after the international break, I suppose. But like in professional football, and the championship is a pretty high level, if you switch off for a second, someone's going to punish you. And it happened too much yesterday for Huddersfield.
Unfortunate.
So we move on then to a game that, like, both teams were decimated by injuries and by everything else, fatigue and what have you. Swansea 1, Rotherham 0.
It wasn't great.
No, Grimes with the first half goal for Swansea. They look good going forward.
A couple of
last-ditch blocks there. Lowe and Bidwell both had chances, and one of them, I think, was it the Bidwell's one in particular? Amazing clearing.
Yeah, well, that was unbelievable, yeah. I actually, first time I saw it, I thought it was handball, but no, it wasn't.
Yeah, unbelievable defending. And, you know, Liam Cullen started his first league game for Swansea. And in 2006, he was the mascot for the game between Swansea and Rotherham. So,
I wish there was fans there for that moment, but like...
Yeah. So a guy that's really Swansea true and true. So it was nice for him to get the league debut as well and Swansea to get the win.
Yeah.
Swansea.
There was not really happened in it all. It was
very little. I mean, both teams were missing players. Both teams were, you know.
Ayo was out.
Ayo was out for Swansea and they were missing a few more. Rotherham were missing players and Rotherham don't have a big squad as it is. They couldn't afford to be missing players.
Yeah.
So it looked like a game back from the international break where you've only got a day and a half and you're working with players who you weren't expecting to be.
And with the weather was shocking as well.
Yeah, and the weather was bad. Swansea, though, up in fourth. Rotherham, though, slipping down. They're in 19th now on the table.
Yeah.
Not good.
And then we end with the final draw of the weekend, final game of the weekend. Again, not exactly a classic. Wickham 0, Brentford 0.
Just to start it off, like you got to. I absolutely love Ainsworth's jacket.
It's he was back yesterday.
What a leather jacket he was wearing.
Yeah. He loves the style on the sideline. But only the second clean sheet for Wickham this season, and they deserved it. They played pretty well. Brentford had a few decent chances, and Mwembo in particular. Alsop made a good save from him.
Yeah.
Wickham kind of came into it in the second half.
Daryl Horgan had looked dangerous, yeah.
Brilliant, lads. Horgan is on fire, I'm telling you.
He's in great form. He really is. He looked good for Ireland, too. He's one of the few players that look good for Ireland.
Yeah.
For the week. And he's, you know, if he can kick on, they really have a player there, Wickham. And, you know, Rea made a good save as well from a chance I think Horgan set up as well later on.
Yeah.
So, you know, Wickham stay 22nd. They're closing that gap to Coventry, though. It's a point behind them now. Yeah. And, I know, Brentford kind of in and around mid-table. I mean, they're the favourites to go up at the start of the season, which was a bit of a surprise for me, considering the three teams that came down didn't really lose anybody.
Yeah. And the thing as well, if Brentford don't have a good Christmas, they're not going to come back up.
No. Yeah. Christmas could be pairing. I suppose they're still feeling the loss of Benrahma, too, like.
Yeah.
And it's the first time there's been a goalless draw at Wickham's ground since February 2019. So,
Interesting.
Good to have Ainsworth back and for them to not lose because, you know, they were getting a few wins while he was in hospital.
Yeah.
But, see. So that was it. It was great to have the football back for the weekend. Some great games, some kind of mad goalkeeping moments. Only the one red card.
That's on.
So what about your goal of the week?
I actually have it's Sykes. And Leo Cook.
Yeah.
I think Cook is better. I think Cook would be my number one.
I think for me, Cook, just because the strike was great, but also he's never scored before for Bournemouth.
Yeah.
In four and a half years at the club.
Yeah, Lewis Cook for me as well, lads, 100%. Given the fact they were 2-0 down against Reading.
Yeah.
Obviously, then 2-1, and then he made a 3-2. It's schoolyard football, as I say. It was a great goal, and it was great to see him. Great to see him score. Good player, nice lead player, and hopefully he gets a few more.
Yeah, it was one of those. I'd say when the ball rolled to him, it looked like he was going to have a shot. The manager was probably, "Oh God, not Cook." But it flew in. Anyway, what about the best player this week?
Liam Cook again.
You think Cook?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Solanke.
Solanke, yeah, Solanke was very good as well in that game. I'd probably go for Campbell at Stoke because I just thought he, you know, he took his goals as well as he could, even though the first one definitely should have been saved. But, you know, there you go. Because he's going well. And the best team performance this week?
Stoke, I'd say.
I'm going to say Stoke. Bristol, lads. Bristol worked very hard. They defended well. Bristol or Barnes, even, I'm going to say Bristol.
I think Barnsley as well. You know, they had, you know, they played very well in that game.
Yeah,
I'll give it to Barnsley. I think Bournemouth second half were probably the best half of football the team played.
Yeah,
but overall, I think Barnsley as well. And the biggest shock of the week,
Preston winning at home.
Yeah, Preston winning at home.
Yeah. We all agree on that. Regardless,
yeah. I think we've got to go with that one. The Preston, madness. So. After, you know, an international break that lasted, it seemed, about 4.5 years.
Yeah.
And we have midweek football coming back as well, so we're going to be spoiled for games this week. So the Tuesday night games, Luton, Birmingham.
Probably a draw. One all.
1-0.
1-0 Luton. Yeah, I could see this being no score in this one. And little QPR, Rotherham. Big game for both teams, really.
Yeah, QPR 2-1.
2-1 QPR, I think 2-0 to QPR in this one. They just look so good in that second half. Stoke Norwich, big one here.
2-1 for Stoke.
Yeah, it's very tough to call. I'm going to say Norwich 1-0.
Another 1-0 Norwich. It has that kind of a feel to it.
Yeah.
But I think maybe a 1-1 draw on this one. Wickham home to Huddersfield.
Oh,
tricky.
I'm going to say Wickham 1-0.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. I think Wickham 1-0. I think Wickham are in better form than Huddersfield at the minute.
Yeah, the area.
And we know Jerry will want Wickham to win.
Of course.
Barnsley home to Brentford, another one. Brentford need a win and Barnsley are in good form.
Nil all.
Brentford 1-0.
Yeah, I think Brentford might win this one 2-1. Tony hasn't scored in a bit, so Tony needs a goal. Preston home to Blackburn.
Back to back home wins.
Yeah. Will Brown? No, I don't think Brown won't be back yet. Will he is to do 10 days quarantine? Is the 10 days
so,
up?
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Blackburn 2-1 and Adam O'Reilly to come off the bench.
That would be nice. I'm gonna go for a draw here and maybe a 2-2 draw.
2-0.
Bournemouth home to Nottingham Forest.
Bournemouth.
Yeah.
You're going to win 3 or 4-0, I'd say.
Yeah, I'm going to go for 3-0 Bournemouth. Probably means Forest will win.
Yeah.
There you go. What about yourself now, Gary?
Yeah, I'm going to say Bournemouth, they're going to win. I reckon it'll be 3-0. Solanke to score 2.
This is one of those games where it's like such an obvious home win that it's probably not going to be.
Yeah, when we say that,
just because of the way the championship goes.
Yeah.
Because they're probably, if people are doing accumulators, that's probably one they're going to have midweek.
We listen to three lads, they're normally right. Boom, they lose.
Yeah. Then a few games on Wednesday as well. Middlesbrough home to Derby.
Yeah.
Derby don't score goals.
It's a hard one.
Yeah, well, Middlesbrough don't concede goals and Derby don't seem to score them, so. You know?
Yeah, like, realistically, Middlesbrough will win 2-0.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say nil all.
Nil all. I think it is nil all written all over it, this one.
Yeah, same. Nil all.
Millwall home to Reading.
That's a very hard one.
I'm going to say Reading, that's 2-1.
Yeah, you think they'll get back on track with this one?
Yeah, I think so. I think the same, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go for Millwall to win 1-0 here. Maybe a late Troy Parrott winner off the bench.
I'd love it.
Bristol City home to Watford. This is a good one. Both teams in good form.
2-2.
2-1
to
Watford.
Yeah,
I'm going to go 2-1 to Bristol City in this one. But it could go either way. They're just both great form. Both doing well. Coventry, who are struggling at the moment, home to Cardiff, who are up and down all over the place. So.
Coventry for the win, lads. Come on, the Coventry. 1-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to say same.
Coventry for the win. Yeah, I think Cardiff will probably win this one 2-0, even though Coventry will hammer them in the match, because that's just the way Cardiff seem to be going this one. Then finally, midweek, we've got Swansea versus Sheffield Wednesday. Another one that should be, you know.
Cue Leicester Warkey's magic and yeah. Sheffield Wednesday to win 2-0.
All right.
Yeah, I think a draw, to be honest.
A draw?
Yeah.
Yeah. Swansea are just so good. It's hard, but it's like you said, Jerry, you can't rule out that Pulis factor now that he's had a bit longer to work with him.
Yeah.
Maybe Wednesday will nick a win 1-0. I think that could be the shock of the midweek.
It could be.
Great stuff, guys. So will we leave it there, and we'll be back with one of our quicker podcasts on Thursday, one of our kind of half-hour specials just running over the games.
Yeah. I missed you, lads. I absolutely missed you. Great to have you.
It feels like it's been forever.
It does, it does. And it's only been 1 week. Apparently.
Yeah. 1 week long was tomorrow, lads, as you know.
Yeah, it's been crazy. It's been crazy. But look, we'll be back Thursday for one of the quick shows, one of the quick half-hour jobs running over the midweek games, where hopefully there'll be loads of goals and loads of talking points. And, you know, not 12-0 all draws.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
But we'll talk soon, guys.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers.